Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review.
The comics we'll be talking about in this episode originally came out on February 18th, 2009, and starting us off in DC is Outsiders 15. And before we start to actually talk about this issue, I want to have you confirm something for me, Bob, because I'm pretty sure I'm correct about this. But, I mean, we talked about the Batman and the Outsiders special that came out last week and how it was kind of a so-so special, I think is being kind of charitable, kind of a gathering of the team thing.
Right.
Now, if I recall correctly, Batman and the Outsiders 13, which is two issues before this Outsiders 15 in the sequence, Batgirl was assembling a team.
Yes.
And then in issue 14, Batgirl and Nightwing were fighting over who gets to assemble the Outsiders.
Yes.
And then we hit that special where neither of them does that.
Yeah, they totally ignore that, and then Alfred is assembling a team.
And then here, we get something that I felt was pretty redundant to that special we just got.
Exactly. My exact thought was that, didn't I just read this thing? It's like, what I really felt was, I mean, that special was completely redundant. If they took that Batman's video to Alfred sequence out of that book, which was the only good part, in my opinion, I didn't like it that much, you know, and put that into this one, they could just erase that special from existence. Or, alternatively, take a lot of what was in this issue and put it in the special, because I didn't need, like, well, you know, going around to, you know, wherever all these people are and asking them if they want to be on the team. And then this issue is all, okay, now we're all standing around in the Batcave asking everyone if they want to be on the team. And they still haven't decided if they want to be on the team.
You know? Yeah.
Get back to me in a couple of days. What?
I think between this issue and that special, there was, like you said, the contents of a really good issue to be had. Unfortunately, I don't think between splitting them out, the redundancy, stuff like that, it's just, wow. And the person I blame for this is the editor, who is that? That's Mike Martz. You know, he's been the editor for the entire Batman and the Outsiders run. So, you know, for over a year now, he came on after the Five of a Kind fiasco. But really, if you look back on kind of this era of Outsiders, big picture-wise, during Dan Didio, tenure. You've got, you know, the first chunk of the Outsiders where they're doing that whole proactive, let's go after the bad guys approach or whatever. And that had a fairly, you know, sense of stability for, you know, about 3 years, actually. Then we hit that 1 year later and the, hey, don't tell anyone we're not dead era of the thing, which lasts, I don't know, maybe a year or something. Then we hit that whole Five of a Kind of who's going to be on the new team and stuff, and frankly, it got to the who cares point. Then we hit this Batman and the Outsiders thing, and they do, what, an adventure or two with the new team, and then, like, you know, we hit the who's going to pick the team, who's going to be on it, and we've been there for a couple of months. I'm at the point where I don't know what is supposed to make the Outsiders as a team, as a concept, as whatever, unique, relevant, or something I need to be reading. And I'm also at the point where I just want them to, you know,
pick something.
Yeah, pick a direction and go somewhere. You know, I don't care where. And to a degree, I don't care with who, and it looks like we'll get that with the next issue. But after
maybe
four issues in a row, yeah, maybe.
I thought I was going to get that with this issue. After that setup in the special is like, well, certainly they've gotten that out of the way. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the part that gets me is the team they wind up with at this point is essentially the classic Outsiders. You know, most of that you can tell from the cover of Geo-Force, Katana, Black Lightning, Metamorpho. So we've got Owlman as a stand-in for Batman, essentially. Although she's not pictured on the cover, we've got Halo. And then we've got the Creeper as kind of the wacky new member. And this, to me, goes back to the whole DC going back to the 80s. They're trying to recapture their glory days or whatever you know, slant you want to put on that, it feels almost like a step backwards, not a step forwards. And that kind of bothers me a little. And do we really need another Owlman? This is like, what, the third? Maybe even the third concurrently. Because I think we've got the Antimatter one of the Crime Syndicate, the Earth 3 one of the Crime Society, and now this guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I found this issue enjoyable. It had some decent moments, whatever. But in terms of direction, in terms of do they have a plan with this title, I really was not impressed. And then, you know, I hit the Origin and Omens backup story, and frankly, I thought that was something of a train wreck. You know, we get 2 pages of Origin, 1 page of Omens, and boom, it's done. It's like, wow, that was quick.
Well, I thought that, well, this issue, just summing up how it went off the rails, the scene between Geo-Force and Katana, where the hell did that come from?
In terms of why are they at that alley?
No.
Oh, that the bit at the end. Got it. Yeah. That seemed a little odd to me, too.
That was just out of left field. And the end of the issue, this two-page Klinkhausen, Germany or whatever, that was, to me, unnecessarily cryptic. And to end the issue on this, you know, it's like, it didn't really leave me with any strong desire to come back for another issue. You know, we've talked before about, you know, how it's a good idea in general to, you know, kind of leave you.
You want to leave on a high note. You want to leave
on a high note. Yeah. You know, they have the rocket being introduced. I thought they were going to, like, launch the rocket and, you know, give you some kind of a clue about who this mysterious uber villain is. But no, then they go into this 2-page earthquake or whatever, and it's like, what is up with that? It just, it left me on a really bad note, and what the net effect of it was is I pulled 17 off my current order form, and this title is on probation at this point. I will read 16. And if it's not significantly better than this issue, this thing's getting cut.
I can totally understand that, and I agree. Those last 2 pages were completely meaningless to me and felt not like an afterthought, but disconnected from everything else. And frankly, the whole bit with the rocket, I'm like, what the hell? You know, why does he have a rocket? Why in a cave, no less? Isn't anyone going to notice this taking off from Wayne Manor or whatever? There were enough places in here that just didn't make sense. Everything from, you know, I didn't have a problem with Alfred leading the team, but apparently all these people, and maybe they did know Batman was Bruce Wayne, etc., but that just seemed a little odd. I felt maybe he should have been in a disguise or something. You know, I liked seeing Halo back. I thought she was a fun character. Way back when, this seems to be a little bit of a different take on her. The Roy Raymond Jr. character seems to be a little bit of a retcon from where we've seen him lately over in Flash and a few other places, because now he's this brilliant detective or whatever. But it's like, okay, fine, I'll go with that. But, you know, that and Geo-Force's miraculous recovery from the events of Last Will and Testament, which...
Well, that rendered that entire story pointless, too. I mean, when you do things like that, and then you essentially wave your magic wand and make them go away, like, 2 months later, you know, I don't know exactly how much time, but a really short increment of time later, it's just... Why? Why did you do it?
Exactly. And add to that, they're going underground and kind of off the grid again, like they did with 1 year later. There are aspects of this that seem a little redundant. There are aspects of this that don't quite make sense, that render other things kind of meaningless. Again, the last couple of issues, you know, seem pointless in light of this issue. But there are also a couple of really good moments here and there. I like the way Alfred was characterized. Again, you know, how they used Halo, some stuff like that was fun. But, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat you are of, you know, if this title doesn't figure out where it's going and actually start, you know, clicking with me in some way, I don't need to keep getting it. You know, if I need to cut back, and I do, this is a very easy place to do it. So a lot of the faults I'm finding with this, again, while it was enjoyable, it was poorly done. And I blame the editor for that.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a total waste. I mean, I gave it a 3, you know.
That's exactly what I
did. And a low 3, you know. I mean, it wasn't bad enough to be a 2, but it it just seemed to me like it could have so easily been much, much better.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they just tried to cover too much ground and some of it too much redundant ground, but like there was that scene with Metamorpho when he's presumably driving into Wayne Manor or whatever. And I'm like, what the hell is going on with that? You know, I think I know exactly where they're going with this, and we're going to find out that, and this is pure speculation on my part, that Shift, his personality, which was absorbed into Metamorpho, is not completely integrated, and that Metamorpho is essentially going to have kind of a split personality thing going. And I hope I'm wrong with that, because I liked Metamorpho. I never really cared for Shift, you know. But I don't know. This,
Just disappointing is the best thing I can say about it. I mean, it should have been so much better than it was.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And I'm of the opinion, in the hands of a better editor, it would have been better. Because part of it is I went in with a less than positive attitude on this, particularly based on those last couple of issues. And when it was, wait, this is, you know, redundant with what we just had in the special, disappointing again, I think sums it up. I gave it a 3, but I was hoping to give it a little better than that, you know. Mm-hmm. It left me wanting, and not in a good way.
Right. So standard, standard things that we give. It was a little longer than a normal issue. It was 20 pages with a 4-page backup, so 24 pages of story, 12.5 cents a page. Just a little less than normal. They threw an extra couple of pages in there, but. You know, when they're these pages, it's like, no thanks. Give me just 22 pages and make them a little better.
Well, those 4 pages in particular, one of them was the intro to the Origin and Omen story and didn't really have much story on it. 2 was, you know, 1-panel recaps of everyone's origin. And the 3rd was the standard, let's give a cryptic, you know, foreshadowing image of everything.
I have, in general, not been that thrilled with these Origins and Omens things.
Yeah. I think the one in Adventure Comics, which is probably the one the fewest people have seen, was the best by far, because it actually seemed to have a story. Most of the others I've been similarly, you know, underwhelmed by.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Sure.
It is Guardians of the Galaxy number 10. This is part of the War of Kings crossover storyline, and by and large, I'm sitting out the War of Kings. This is strictly, you know, due to budget limitations, and frankly, I almost dropped this title because of it, you know.
Interesting.
It's crossing over. I mean, I'm enjoying this title, but it's got the kind of the aspect of, in certain cases, being kind of self-contained off on the side, so if I'm not reading it, I don't really miss it, but in this particular case, crossing over with all the cosmic stuff, and, you know, that didn't work for me really in either case. I'm liking what this creative team, particularly Abnett and Lanning on the writing side, is doing. But if I need to cut further into Marvel, this is one that may go.
See, I like the cosmic stuff, I think, a little more than you do. So, I mean, if I had similar cuts to make, I would save the cosmic titles, this one included, and I would cut elsewhere in the Marvel Universe. I'm really, really enjoying the stuff that Abnett and Lanning are doing in the cosmic side. But I used to like that. I mean, back in the 70s, you know, I read all the Captain Marvel and Warlock and, you know, all that kind of stuff when it was originally coming out. And when Guardians of the Galaxy first came out, you know, back in Marvel Superheroes and all the other places that it was at before they even got their own series, I read all that stuff and ate that stuff up. So I just have a soft spot for this stuff.
Well, and I enjoyed the Guardians of the Galaxy series back in the 90s or whatever. I thought that was some great stuff. But this is a fairly different team. And, you know, out of the cosmic stuff, you know, I like what they're doing on Nova much better than what they're doing here. Both are good, but you know what I mean? This is one where I'm glad I stuck with it through this, because I was afraid that with it being a crossover issue, they were kind of Shanghai the title away from Guardians of the Galaxy to move forward the whole War of Kings thing, and they didn't. This worked very well as a Guardians of the Galaxy story, and it also seemed to develop the whole War of Kings storyline well, too, in a very complimentary manner. So all in all, I was fairly pleased with this.
Yeah. I mean, I just love this book, and I love every scene in it. I love the way that they played out every scene. It's just, you know, Star-Lord in the prison, you know, the interaction with Blastar, some of the dialogue. I don't want to give it away, but, you know, just every time Groot yells, "I am Groot," I don't know why, but that just tickles me. So
well, there's an elegant simplicity to the character.
Yeah. And just, you know, Warlock and Gamora, who's kind of healed up now, and, you know, their scene that they had. It's just the interplay, switching back and forth between the different characters and all the different things that happen, you know, the little quick thing with Mr. Fantastic and stuff. I just am delighted by each and every scene that they have in this book. It's just hits me the right way.
Well, there's one thing they do at the end, and I don't think it's really a huge spoiler or anything, so I'm going to go ahead and say what it is. They get a new team member, and it's Jack Flagg. And, you know, I was surprised they're joining him into this group, because it's I don't want to say a street level of characters you can get in the Marvel Universe, but essentially. And I think there's the potential for some really interesting interaction between him and Vance Astro, or Major Victory, or whichever name he's going by in the series. Because both are kind of Captain America-related characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some interesting stuff with Jack Flagg. Nothing, you know, major or earth-shattering or anything, but it was good characterization throughout. It's like, okay, you know...
Just from the point where he's like, I hate all that cosmic stuff, and then, you know, it's like, oh, then they wave that magic wand at me. And it's like, it's just, I like how they do it. I like their writing. They have a real knack for the dialogue. I'm not saying it's, you know, street level realistic, but it's comic book realistic, and it flows very nicely.
Yeah, it flows.
It's not clunky. Each scene flows into the next scene. They have a lot of characters to handle. I think that they move between the different ones and handle the large cast in a very nice way. It's done very professionally, very skillfully by these guys. And the art is, you know, I have no complaints about the art. It fits the book very good, very well.
Yeah, it's solid art. It's really good stuff. And, you know, you make a really good point about the way the writers are handling a fairly, you know, expansive cast and just a lot going on. You know, I feel like there's more story in this issue than in, you know, a similarly sized issue of some other books. So it's one I hope I don't have to cut, because it is not only well done, it's consistently well done. You know, I gave this a 4, and by and large, you know, pretty sure I would have given, you know, every issue of this series a 4, as I would with Abnett and Lanning's work on Nova.
Yeah, I gave it a 5, actually. It's one of my top favorite books at Marvel.
Well, one of the things I like about it is the Guardians of the Galaxy, because they're a cosmic team, they're not on Earth, etc., inherently have a very distinct style and place in the Marvel Universe. They're not just another one of the zillions of X-Men and Avenger teams, and that uniqueness helps out a lot. So, anyone who's not reading this who likes cosmic stuff should check it out. Shall we move on to our independent book?
Sure. Or books.
Books. We've got two of them. They're both first issues. Let's go ahead and start with Amber Adams, number one. What did you think of this?
I like the idea of the book. I think it could have been executed a little better. I didn't notice, and we talked to Kelly Yates a few months back on the preview spotlight. And as I'm looking at the credits inside the cover, you got story, art, and cover by Kelly Yates, and then colors by Michael E. Wiggum, and then there's nothing else. And, you know, there's no editor credited. And I think having an editor would have helped him.
Yes, that's a good catch. I didn't notice the lack of editor in the credits, but I did notice it in the contents.
Yeah, I mean, the pacing was a little bit off. I think that this first scene went on a little bit long before we get introduced to Amber. You know, then we cut to, and I can understand what he's trying to go for here, but there's not enough of our heroine in this issue. There is some nice signature stuff here, you know, where you get the, her, I guess, signature, you know, I can't believe he talked to me like that. Nobody talks to me like that, you know, kind of thing. And I think that will be an ongoing character trait from her, because she did it twice here. And it wasn't, I thought that was an interesting development point, right? I liked it. I thought it was giving kind of a thing to this character, but this cutting back and forth between Amber and the larger political story wasn't working as well for me.
I had very, very similar thoughts as I was going through this. You know, I went in thinking I was going to like this more than Johnny Monster, the book we're going to talk about next, because this seemed to be a little bit more towards, you know, the sci-fi action adventure stuff that I enjoy. And we sort of got that, but this felt kind of like the early part of the original Star Wars film with Luke on Tatooine, where he's whining about the power converters.
Yeah.
And before the action really starts happening. And we get a little action here and there, but I think your points on the pacing, on how much we get of the big political stuff, and all of that is very much right on the money. This isn't bad stuff, but if this is kind of the opening act of a, you know, an ongoing, or not an ongoing, but you know what I mean, a bigger
mini
story.
I think it's a mini series. I'm going to guess that this will read a lot better in trade paperback.
I think so.
Because this is going to be the opening part, and then you're going to flow right into, you know, more action and stuff. And just, I got this as an issue, and there was not enough action and enough of me getting to know the title character in it. As a first issue, and again, this is where an editor probably could have helped or should have helped if there's one that who's not credited, would be working on the pacing, pulling our heroine up to the front of the book, or, you know, cutting back this setup stuff to maybe 2 pages tops, and, you know, just getting a little bit more of her in there. And beyond that first part, saving the scene that develops the political story more for the second issue.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And putting much more of our heroine into this issue. That would have made it a superior first issue. But in the larger scheme of things, depending on how issues 2, 3, and 4 play out, might not make that big of a deal if you're reading it all as one story.
Yeah, in terms of what the presumed bigger story is going to be, I think you're right that it may need to start a little slow. But again, like you said, as an individual first issue, I was left wanting more in this issue, not more of the series, but more here. Specifically, I wanted to have Amber do something heroic. She never really did that here. You know, I don't have any real sense of why she should be the title character of this book. Sure, we get quite a bit of her and stuff.
Right.
But, I mean, it'd be like if they serialized Harry Potter and, you know, the first installment is before you even hear about Hogwarts or whatever. You know, like, what the hell, you know? Why do I care about this character? This is one where I think that, like you said, the idea is good, but the execution needed a little work. I think that you're right that we're going to get in the future installments enough I'm going to have to say make up for this, and that's a little harsh. But, you know, I think you're right that once we get the full story, it'll be easier to tell how good the whole story is, and it seems to be more written for a trade than for an individual issue. The other thing I felt was lacking in this issue was a to be continued on the last page of art.
Yes.
Because
I did notice that too, and it's like, what?
I hit the Jersey Gods ad, I flipped to the next page, waiting for the rest of the issue. Oh, wait, it's done. You know, it felt like there should have been another page or two of story. And again, that goes back to the pacing.
Yeah. And this is, you know, what we talk about a lot is that, you know, the role that an editor should play in a book. And I, you know, I'm happy because when we talked to Mark Waid actually agreed with me, you know, on this point is, you know, doing exactly this kind of stuff and helping with this kind of pacing issues. I mean, they're not there just to, you know, say, oh, you misspelled that word, although there was a misspelled word in this issue, you know, but, you know, this all important pacing and packaging an issue so that it will stand as an issue and deliver a satisfying chunk of story. That is something that I think that if you're creating the story, you're often too close to it to step back and see that kind of thing objectively, which is why you have an editor.
Yeah, and a good editor, again, somebody like A. Mark Waid, I think could have helped Kelly Yates get the best Amber Adams story Kelly Yates had to tell into this issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I gave it a 3. I thought, you know, it was okay. It does need to pick up the pace, and it's kind of a contingent 3 on my suppositions on what we're going to get going forward.
Yeah, I gave it a 3 also for much the same reasons. I mean, I didn't dislike the issue. I just thought it could have been so much better if the story and the character potential that's there was not fully realized by this issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's the way I would say it. We'll move on to
our bonus book,
Johnny Monster.
Yeah. You know, there are very few times I'll open a comic and see something that may immediately ups my opinion of the book. This was one of those times, and this is something that immediately put me in a very favorable frame of mind for this story.
I think I know where you're going with that one, because I had the same exact thing.
I opened the cover to a splash, a two-page splash.
A two-page splash, where they use the inside of the front cover.
Exactly.
To that. Have we ever seen that before? Maybe I have. It's been so infrequent or so long that I don't recall it.
I don't recall seeing it.
Really cool. It's really cool, and applause.
Yes.
To these guys. That was so nicely done, and just, you know, setting the scene with that was really nicely done.
Because it gives the impression of, we're not messing around. We're starting the story right here, right now. We're into it. It starts with a very dramatic, you know, fight between two types of monsters or whatever. It's good action, whatever. And to me, this is as strong of an opening as you can get. And again, particularly, it's not, okay, we've got a page, then flip to a two-page splash. The decision to use the inside front cover, stroke of brilliance. And frankly, I went into this prior to opening the cover with not a hesitation, but thinking, okay, you know, it sounded interesting in the, you know, because we talked to him too about in previous interviews, right?
Right, yes.
But, you know, I'm not really all that big into the whole Godzilla monster type stuff. So, you know, a little hesitation, but by and large, I was sold on this pretty quick, because after that two-page splash, we get a solid introduction to Johnny Monster that really introduces him and his status quo really well, sells the premise of the series beautifully, and over the course of the issue, not only do we fully get the status quo, what's going on in the world, what we need to know, but it's also very clear how that status quo is going to get shaken up, and at the end, that shakeup is imminent. So we kind of end on a reveal, and I had a little bit of an issue with that kind of reveal at the end, but I get the premise of the series, I get where it's going, I'm excited about all of that, and it was very effective in how it went about doing all of that.
Yeah, I think I had the same issue as you, and that would be, where did that reporter come from?
Exactly.
They didn't establish, and there should have been something in the background on some of these scenes where you just kind of saw her sneaking in so that she could witness what she witnesses. And, you know, that was a little bit not optimal, right? But beyond that, really great, solid issue. And I'm, you know, this is the kind of thing where, you know, it's perfection, because it held my interest all the way through the book. It kept me going. And I get to the last page, and they leave you on a beat that's like, yeah, I want to come back, and I want that next issue.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I didn't get that really from especially that Outsiders issue.
Oh, you know, yeah, the last scene on the Outsiders one is
terrible.
Like, I was
terrible.
Scratching my head as to what the hell it was. Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is how you end an issue. You know, when you actually have a desire to sell more issues of the comic, you know. It's just, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
Well done, you know. I gave it a strong 4.
I was, that's pretty much what I gave it. I was almost going to give it a 5, but that whole, where the hell did that reporter come from in that last bit, you know, to me was a bit of a plot hole, and the art, while good and effective, I think could have been a little bit better, you know what I mean?
It's good art, it's not great art.
Yes, yes.
And that being said, it's not a knock against, you know, J.C. Grand, who's doing it. I think that it's got all the elements that need to be there. I think that JC will, you know, we've said this before about other people, but this is someone that, you know, this is someone to watch, because I think that, you know, as he gets more pages out, will really develop some skill and really be knocking our socks off in the years to come. I mean, this is very solid stuff. You know, some of the figures are a little stiff. Just say it that way.
And there's a place or two where the anatomy doesn't seem quite right, or the perspective's a little off. I mean, you could nitpick the art.
Right, and it didn't interfere with the story at all.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, it's like if I actually went in and I said, okay, I have to give a critique on it, there are various things that I could point out. But, you know, it didn't interfere with my enjoyment of the story as I was reading it at all. So that, you know, is much to its credit, you know.
Agreed. Same here. You know, I had a lot of fun reading this issue, and it's something that you could polish the chrome on, but the structure is so rock solid that you don't really need to. You know, this is again, some of the best storytelling in terms of the writing, by and large. Again, with that bit at the end is the one caveat. And the art, it started with a bang with a two-page splash and just kept going.
This other two-page spread that they had in, too. I mean, it had the little inset panels in it, which is a nice touch. But I just kind of liked, you know, how they did it and how they're establishing, you know, that location.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they had the other two-page splash a little earlier with the other mercenary team or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was good, too. And again, they did the same thing there where they had the inset, which they had insets on the initial two-page splash. And that's, you know, to the credit of this guy, I actually like that because you've got a two-page splash and you get the benefit of that two-page splash. But you're getting a little extra storytelling in by putting in that inset panel or two.
Yeah, you know, it's a good visual sense of storytelling and stuff. This is something that, if it does not get snapped up and made into a summer blockbuster movie, I will be shocked. It read like one of those in all of the right ways. You know, it was, in that respect, a very cinematic comic book. So, you know, I, again, went into my initial expectations between this and Amber Adams was I thought I'd like Amber Adams better just based on the premise and concept, but you know, the execution here was just so much better. You know, I again was tempted to give this a 5 but couldn't quite justify that. But I'm hoping future issues would totally raise that.
I think this is right on the edge where if they keep it going at this level and even kick it up a notch a little bit, that the series, the 3-issue series, could easily be a 5.
Yeah.
In mind.
Yeah, and I expect it will be. I would be surprised if it's not.
And Williamson, I mean, he does Necessary Evil, right? So I love that book, too. So
yeah, he's a guy to watch. He's definitely making a name for himself.
Yeah, but very well done. Overall, excellent issue. Highly recommended. You know, if you didn't pick this one up, it's by Image, 23 pages since we got that inside of the front cover. Was $3.50, 15.2 cents per page. So go pick the thing up. This was well worth it.
Yeah. So what else?
Do a quick rundown of what we got.
Yeah, I got 24 comics in one magazine. That magazine was the final issue of Right Now. Overall, there was some good stuff, a couple things that were a little lackluster here and there. I'll be honest, I was hoping for a better ending to Tangent Superman's Reign than we got. What we got was enjoyable, but
I haven't read it yet. I just got the books yesterday, so I read Beyond These books. I read I read Dark Avengers number 2.
Didn't get that.
And not a whole lot else. I just didn't have time.
Yeah. It was not a bad week for comic, but it was not a brilliant week. I mean, X Factor came out, and Peter David's doing some great stuff there. I do recommend that book and think people should be checking it out.
Yeah. Oh, I read Zombies That Ate the World, and that was extremely underwhelming.
Ah.
You wouldn't have liked it anyway, but even people who like those kind of things, nah. I put a write-up on it out on the first issue thread on the forum if anybody's interested, but don't waste your time on that one. So I got 23 comics. You beat me by one, but I got a couple of trades. I got Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 10 hardcover and Naoki Urasawa's 20th Century Boys Volume 1. I liked his Monster series in manga, so I'm going to give that a try. Just ordered the first volume. I have to give it a read at some point. I got one of those classic Marvel figurines, Winter Soldier, and I got 6 Bowen busts.
Damn.
I got the biggest box from DCVS I have ever gotten. This thing came up to my chest.
Wow.
I don't know where the hell they got this box from. It's like and a couple of the busts were not small busts. It had that Mangog bust. Remember we saw that at that place in
Capstone
in
Comics or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When I was out there a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know what it was. I think DCBS must have gotten them and been holding on to them or something because they all came in 1 week. So I got Mangog, and then I got Cloak and Dagger, which is another big one because it's the two of them together.
Right.
You know, it's a fairly big box. And then Jack of Hearts, Marina from Alpha Flight, Tarantula, and Toad.
Cool. That had to be a huge box, though.
It was really big. And like unpacking these things. It's just, wow. But then I'm off to WonderCon, which I will be back by the time people listen to this.
Well, I was going to say have fun, but you will have had fun by the time people listen to this, so should be good.
I hope so. They have a very nice guest list there. I've never been up there before, but a lot of people in the Bay Area speak highly of it, so I will maybe on the next episode or on something that we do, we can talk about it, just because some of these smaller cons are a very different but very good experience that's, you know, very different from San Diego. I mean, I wouldn't trade San Diego for anything, but a lot of these smaller cons are really good, too.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. That pretty much do it.
I think so. Join us next week when we discuss Rain in Hell, number 8 from DC, The Incredible Hercules, number 126 from Marvel, and Mouse Guard, Winter 1152, number 5 from Archaea Studio Press.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.